Greetings, everyone. Good to see you all. We're starting right on time here. This is Dr. Will Tuttle, and this is Thursday, March 7th, 2024. So we are delighted to welcome you to the first Thursday of the month, World Peace Diet Meditation, World Peace Satsang, we call it also. And Madeline and I are in Florida, just at the very end of our time in Florida now. We only have about four more events, I guess, in Florida, and then we leave on Monday. And we have events in Louisiana and Texas and Arizona and California coming up in the next couple of weeks, heading back across the country. So it's great to be with you all, and I'm going to go ahead and just say a few words here at the beginning while people come in. I know I heard from several people that they have prior obligations tonight and won't be able to join us, some of our good friends who are regulars. But that's okay. We're here. We're delighted to be here. I'm really grateful that the timing is good, because when we're living in that little tiny little van we're in, sometimes it's a little difficult to do these. But for three or four days, we're here in Umatilla, Florida, which is where my sister lives and her husband. And they have a little house on a lake here. It's very beautiful. And her daughter, Christy, is visiting. And Christy has four little kids, all healthy as can be, basically vegans. And don't go to doctors. They haven't never been vaccinated, and they're running around here. From the age, I think, 4 to maybe 13, I think. So they're a barrel of laughs, I'll tell you. They're really they're three boys and then a little girl. And they're champion BMX. I didn't know about BMX, bicycle motocross. And always climbing trees and catching snakes and lizards and running around here. They live in Connecticut. So it's been great. It's been great to spend some time with her. And her husband is a priest in the Orthodox Christian, Russian Orthodox Christian Church. So we've been having some great talks. And the Russian Orthodox, or the Orthodox Church in general, I discovered is very vegan friendly. He said about half the year there's major church holidays going on where no one's allowed to eat anything with a backbone. So it's basically no animal foods except maybe for clams or things like that. So they're very vegan friendly, which is good. And he's got a thriving congregation apparently in Connecticut. So they're down here for some visiting their grandparents and getting some time at the beaches and the springs. We went to a beautiful springs yesterday and took a swim, and we've been really busy with our events. So we've had a lot of lectures, workshops, concerts since we left Hippocrates. I think I told you about that. We went to Key West and did three, I guess, events there, a concert and a lecture and a workshop, and then up to Fort Myers and did events there, three events there also similarly, and then up to the Villages, which is kind of an interesting place, huge retirement community, did a lecture and a concert there and a workshop, and now we're got something tomorrow in Cape Canaveral, and then back here in Mount Dora, and then over to Crystal River, Lecanto area. So, and then we'll be heading back west. All right, so welcome everyone. It's great to see you all joining us. And Madeline is not right in the room here. It's a little bit different. I'm in my sister and her husband, Laura and Kevin, my younger sister. And she's a mother and a grandmother. And or I'm in their bedroom. The kids are like wild out there running around, and they have a swimming pool right out that window. So they're very active, which is good. That's how kids should be. Okay, so I guess we'll go ahead and get started. It looks like the gang's all here. Most of us. And as you know, if this is your first time, this is the first Thursday of every month, and we have a 1 hour maximum meditation time. So we'll do a guided meditation here at the beginning. I'd be happy to kind of conduct that, and then we'll open it up for any questions you may have, comments. We try to focus primarily on the spiritual dimension of the world and of our lives and consciousness. Those of you who are in the World Peace Diet Circle know that we have something on the third Thursday, which is closed. It's just for World Peace Diet Circle members who've gone through our training or who are members of that. And that's wide ranging. We talk about anything political or whatever. But this is having to do with animal rights. But this is our meditation time, open to everybody. Okay, so yes, Margie, you're right. Kiddo energy. And these are Vermont kids, so they're natural kids. All right, so I'll go ahead and get started. Everybody, feel free to get comfortable. I have it set so that the microphones are muted by default, so that it's relatively quiet, and feel free to either leave your cameras on or turn them off, and we'll go ahead and get started with our meditation time. So normally, at least a little over half the year, we're in California, and I have the opportunity to be right at the piano and can play the piano while we do the meditation, but that's not possible when we're on the road. All right, much love to you all. Here we go. Let's start our meditation time. And let's take a few minutes now and just turn our attention within. Giving thanks for this precious opportunity that we have to be together in spirit and mind, and virtually, I guess, in body, to connect at the level of our aspiration for a world of kindness and compassion and radical inclusion for all living beings within the sphere of our concern. We give thanks for all of the brothers and sisters who are on this earth right now, who are doing their best to help contribute to raising awareness about the benefits of a life devoted to liberation of animals, of ecosystems, of human beings, and to honoring the sacred connection that we share with each other and with all living beings. And so we just take a moment to go within and deepen our connection with the infinite life that is the source of our life. It's so totally honorable to be able to question the official narratives in our society that are pushing us to look in terms of separation and domination and exploitation of the weak by the strong. To question all of that and to enter more deeply into the unity that we share with all living beings. So let's breathe together. As we inhale, we open to the connection we have not only with the beautiful atmosphere of this earth, all of the physical experiences here that nourish us, food, the air, the water, but also we open to the spirit of love and peace and truth and healing and abundance, creativity and awareness, the spirit of truth that surrounds and imbues the atmosphere of the earth. We can tap into at any time. So as we inhale, we connect with the true nature of our consciousness, which is one with the consciousness of all living beings. And now as we exhale, we just let go into this present moment, knowing always that this present moment is always the perfect unfoldment of life and love, and that this present moment is always an accurate mirror of our present state of mind, and thus continuously bears great opportunities to grow in wisdom and compassion, to grow in understanding, and to respond with our whole being, to embrace the adventure of a human life. This world as a mirror, this world as a manifestation of our consciousness, can teach us so much about ourselves. So breathing and exhaling, letting go of all of our accumulated wounds and perspectives, and allowing ourselves to be fresh, allowing ourselves to be free, and allowing ourselves to open to the inner wisdom that shines beyond concepts and words as the light of being, the very core of our being. Giving thanks for this precious opportunity of a human birth to awaken to the one life living through all of us. And we give thanks for all the animals that share this beautiful earth with us. Let's think of all the animals who we know. Maybe all the animals that we've ever been in a relationship with as a companion animal. Maybe we have one, maybe we have 20, whatever the number, all the animals that we've been able to interact with, remembering their faces and their names and their personalities, their gifts, all that they shared, what they taught us. We give thanks for all of the beautiful companion animals that we have been blessed to be able to know and love. And we give thanks for all of the animals that people refer to as pets or companions, and how they have in many ways helped to uplift and enlighten humanity over the years and decades, centuries. And all the animals who have sacrificed themselves so much for us. And the animals that we have used in experimentation, who have suffered at our hands, all the animals that we have used for entertainment and for other products. And we send them our love and our apologies on behalf of humanity, and all of the animals, of course, that we abuse and have harmed over the years and still do for food and other products, knowing that every one of these beings who suffered at our hands is now free, is liberated from that suffering. We apologize, we give thanks, we send our love and appreciation to them, and we send our love and appreciation to the whole effort being made now to awaken out of the mentality of domination and exploitation of living beings, of animals, of humans, of ecosystems, of non-human beings. Yes. And now we take a few moments and just give thanks for this precious human vehicle that we have, this physical body, knowing that this is a temporary vehicle for the spirit that we are, that is eternal. So we see every cell in our physical body filled with the light and infinite life of divine love, wisdom, intelligence, abundance and healing and energy, creativity, wisdom, and that this infinite wisdom of the literally trillions of cells in harmony with each other and in harmony with the whole environment and the whole cosmos is our great gift, the temple that is given to us to express and to create during this precious time that we have to savor our life and our experience on this beautiful earth. So we rededicate ourselves to the purification and respect and honoring of our physical body temple, knowing that it is not what we are, but the vehicle, that it is a manifestation of our consciousness and awareness. We have the power to heal and bring harmony and wellness into every system, every function, every aspect of our life, our physical life, our physical body, the entire body of our affairs, every aspect of our life. That we are the eternal witness, aware and enjoying and learning and contributing the healing and upliftment of humanity, and that we are part of a far greater awakening of humanity and of all living beings. And then finally, we take a moment now and we just project our consciousness into the world together as a force for healing and love. We allow a positive, beautiful future, kindness and love and creativity to open up in a kaleidoscopic way of beauty and harmony, healing and joy and abundance and creativity. As we humans awaken to our rightful place here on this earth, we awaken our purpose as individuals and together. And so we breathe together and radiate love in all dimensions simultaneously, loving kindness and benevolence and goodwill to the infinite web of relations. Breathing and radiating loving kindness for all living beings, even those who are difficult for us, who we disagree with, sending love to all beings without exception, including the beautiful being that goes by our name, embracing all living beings, the heart of loving kindness and compassion and caring, and abiding in our true home of love, abiding in our true home of compassion and radiating compassion to all living beings, the yearning to act, to help relieve their suffering, to do the best we can to be creative and consequent in helping to relieve the suffering of others and to radiate kindness and compassion to all living beings. And with every inhalation now, we engender the great joy that shines at the core of our being, the joy that needs no outer reasons. And with every exhalation together, we radiate joy into the infinite web of relations. The joy of being, may all beings remember the essential joy, and freedom, creativity, and exuberance, and blessedness of this life. May all beings savor the moments that we all share. And finally, we inhale and engender an awareness of peace and harmony with every breath. And as we exhale, we radiate this peace and harmony into the infinite web of relations, knowing and giving thanks that all beings at the deepest levels are at peace, that we are in harmony with each other at the deepest levels, that there is one life living, radiating, expressing, and celebrating as each and every one of us. That we all have our lessons to learn, and we're helping each other with those lessons. And that beyond that, we are unfolding like beautiful flowers in a vast garden. And we see all the animals liberated and free from suffering and domination. We see all human beings liberated and free from delusion. And we see the whole earth now thriving and celebrating and free from interference, from toxic chemicals and other pollutants from human activity, and harmony always present in every dimension of life. So, as we now begin to bring our time of meditation to a close, we finally breathe together. The word for breath, we remember, is the Latin word spiritus, breath, the breath that flows not only into and out of our lungs, but as energy through our entire physical body and through the entire being that we are, connecting all of us with the infinite spirit of truth and love, the one life living through us all. So thank you all for all of your efforts that brought you here to this moment and time and place that brought us together in destiny. And may we go forth and increase this message, deepen it, share it, celebrate the message of one life living through us all. In the power and presence of the infinite truth of being, we give thanks, knowing this is so, and so it is. Well, welcome back, everyone. It's wonderful to be with you all and to see so many names and a few faces from all over creation here. So Madeline and I are enjoying our time here in North Florida, as I said. And we're in the just beginning the fourth month of our five-month lecture tour, spreading the message of vegan living. This is something we've been doing now for 44 years, and it gets better all the time. Just gets better all the time. You know, it's really, I mean, the great thing about the vegan message is that it's timeless and eternal, and it doesn't, there's really nothing to oppose it. It's basically love, loving kindness for all living beings and all expressions of life. And making an effort to authentically embody this love, not theoretically, but actually through all of our actions and our purchases and our thoughts and feelings. And of course, that means questioning all of the official narratives in this society, because this society is basically organized at its core around exploiting millions of animals every day to death and ignoring that. So, as we begin to just raise our awareness, we go through many layers and levels of pain and suffering and delusion and desperation and excruciating disconnectedness that we see around us, and anger perhaps of what's going on and wanting to change people. The whole idea is to just keep going and keep going and keep purifying and keep deepening our understanding so that we can actually embody the vegan message of loving kindness and not be fooled by all of the appearances. That, I think, is a real challenge. So the good news is that we have this hour, and now we have another about a half an hour left. I'm happy to just respond to anybody's question or comment you may have. As I say, kind of trying to keep it to the spiritual kind of domain. And if there aren't any questions or comments, that's great too. I always have plenty to talk about. And we've had a lot going on, of course, in the last 2 weeks since the third Thursday, in the last 4 weeks since our first Thursday. So we can also address any of the things that have come up in the meantime in your own life, any celebrations or disasters or pains or whatever you'd like to just share with the group too, because the neat thing is that we are a safe space here. I mean, everybody who's here is here by what we call sometimes divine appointment, you know, that idea of that we heard the call and we're here. And I think we share a sympathetic vibration. So it's a safe space to share and to ask questions. And I also maybe will read a passage from the Dhammapada. I haven't done that in like 2 years. We used to do that in the old days, almost every month. But Tammy, you have your hand, so I'm happy. It's good to see you. And thanks for joining us from the wilds of the north in Canada. What's up?
Thank you. Well, hello, everyone. Always good to be here. Good to be in community. You know, I live out in the wilderness by myself, and, you know, it's always been quite comforting, but sometimes, you know, at night, I just sometimes feel a little bit uneasy, and there's no reason to feel that way, and it's been something that I've been working through. But the other night, lo and behold, somebody was wandering around my house, checking it out in the middle of the night. And it's left me feeling really quite uneasy, and it doesn't need to. I mean, it's a one-off thing. It doesn't happen very often. I live in a safe country. So I'm always saying, you know, I live in a safe country overall, and I live in a safe area overall. And there's places around the world people have never lived in a safe place ever, or they're getting bombed or whatever's going on. So I'm trying to rationalize it, but it doesn't quite leave me feeling really settled, and I know I just need to settle in. And I don't know, I guess maybe I'm just asking for some feedback, some advice, maybe just because I don't want to feel unsettled. It's not rational to feel unsettled. And you know, yeah, anyways, I'm not going to go on, but it just, you know, yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, so as I understand, you're up in north of Calgary, I think, right? Somewhere up there in Canada, far away from the madding crowd. But I think it's, you know, you say it's not rational, but I think in a way it's rational. I mean, if you're in you're a single woman in a house, kind of out in the wilderness, and you hear some guy walking around outside, you don't know who it is. I wouldn't say it's not rational to be concerned. I think, you know, that's somewhat rational. I mean, in the sense of, you know, you're not sure who this person is or what their purpose is in being there. So, I think, you know, it's something, that's coming up in your consciousness and your experience that, needs to be responded to. And thanks for bringing it up. You know, I think it's something that everyone in our society can relate to. You know, people, I think more and more in our entire society, in the West, maybe worldwide, are feeling perhaps less secure in our homes and in our bodies. A lot of the systems are kind of breaking down, and there's news, right? I mean, I don't like the news. I don't like paying too much attention to the news, but I just, like, right before we came on here, I just read a little headline that the governor of New York State has just sent 1,000 armed troops into New York City to monitor the subways because of all the massive violence that's going on throughout New York City. It's like everything's falling apart. You know, there's just, the systems are collapsing, and there's a huge amount of violence apparently going on in some of these cities, in New York City specifically right now. But so that's kind of a reality. Like, and I think as human beings, you know, we're telepathic. You know, we're kind of connected in to the experience of each other. And so, you know, a lot of it has to do with our individual makeup, I think. I know, like, when I was a kid, I was raised back in Concord, Massachusetts, and we just never locked the door. I mean, it was just unheard of, and there wasn't anything to be afraid of, and we never worried about anything. And, but that was kind of like long ago and far away, I think, for a lot of us. And I still kind of have that feeling. And I'm personally, like, usually not worried when there's strange sounds outside the house. But I have to say, Madeline, you know, is in the same place, and she's quite kind of nervous about it because she has a different background. She, you know, they always locked their house, and they were always kind of worried about people getting in. So I think part of it is, you know, like you say, it's rational. It could be something to be concerned about. But a lot of it is the body has just been trained. You know, our body and mind aren't really separate. So if I was a little kid and my mother was telling me or whatever that I better be careful because somebody could come in, you know, the little kid is just like reacting and like, you know, help somebody, you know, to that, what I heard. And I know that's what happens to a lot of us. So, the best thing, I think, really, is to just use a combination of spiritual discernment and affirm a deeper truth that what you are can never be harmed. You know, that what you are is infinite and eternal, and you're always protected because it's like the sky itself can never be harmed by clouds coming and going. And that understanding has to be accompanied, though, I think, by inner work of gradually developing the capacity to directly experience that. It doesn't work so well when it's just something I say, but I don't really believe it. And so a lot of, like, in the Unity movement, we do a lot of Unity churches, and there's a big emphasis on affirmations. Like, in that case, like in the case you're saying, to affirm that there is only one presence. You know, there's this prayer that they say, there is one presence and one power active in the universe and in my life, God the good, omnipotent. You know, and say that over and over again. There's only one presence and one power and God the good, omnipotent. And if we say that without really understanding it, it's kind of like putting a Band-Aid on a wound. That Band-Aid's not big enough. But if we do understand it, it can really help to quiet the mind that's disturbed and put us at peace again. However, I do think that, you know, that's all well and good, and that's something to work on. I think the more we work on having a sense of inner peace, no matter what's happening in the outer world, the better, because we'll be able to respond better if we do that. But on the other hand, you could also take steps if you feel so inclined. I mean, that's something that only you know. Like, you could, like what people do, like some people just put a couple of video cameras up and just so they can see, like, was that somebody walking around or was that just a raccoon or whatever? I mean, I don't know. I mean, sometimes, you know, I remember when I was, I was out in the woods sometimes and all by myself, and I was in a tent, or sometimes I didn't even have a tent. I was just sleeping under a tree or something, and I'd hear something, you know, walking around, and it was like, oh no, what is it? Is it a bear? Is it a man? You know, and then I found it was just an opossum, you know. Like, oh good. You know, so, you know, I guess there's different ways to respond to these things, and to kind of use your intuition, your intuitive wisdom. So I don't think anyone can tell anybody else what's the best way for them to respond, but maybe maybe it's a good idea on some level you feel to have something, you know, and people do all kinds of things. You know, I don't want to say, I mean, a lot of people have a gun, you know, they just have a gun. So just in case they're not worried. Other people have video cameras up, or they have an alarm system up, or, you know, they do all that kind of stuff. We have more or less stayed away from those kinds of things, where we live, but, we tend to practice, the more, spiritual healing approach, which is, that what we are is not an object, and nobody is an object. And so when we understand that, we just see the best in every situation and focus on that. But I think we have to be also honest with ourselves if we're really able to manifest that and feel good about it, or if we feel like we want a backup. And there's lots of different options of backups, you know, different types of options. There's lots of options, different types of protection things we can have. And, you know, the thing that always gets me is, like, right now, I think our whole society is under this attack in many ways from certain forces that want us to be nervous and afraid of each other, this divisiveness, and then use that and make us crave security and crave safety. And that puts us into prison. That's the goal of that, is to put us all into a prison. So I really resist myself the temptation to be afraid. Because I think the thing that's neat is that fear is actually, you know, that old saying, fear is, the acronym is false evidence appearing real. You know, so it seems very real, but it's actually just our senses, whatever it is. And to learn to dwell in the deeper, level of being where we're not afraid. We can be aware that we should do something, but even then we don't have to be afraid. You know, because I think that's really the practice. And respond. And one of the neat things is Madeline and I took the Christian Science practitioner training. It's a pretty intense training. And we read so many stories of all kinds of things where people, you know, women or sometimes it was women, sometimes it was men, but very often it was women who were walking home late at night, or they were home alone or whatever, and somebody breaks in and tries to steal from them or hit them or abuse them somehow. And they just immediately, because of their inner training, their mind immediately changed, and they looked at the person with a look of love, that and looking beyond the outer form of that saw this kind of crazy man or whatever, and saw the divine child of God, just really saw that, and how it just changed the situation completely. The man suddenly, like, snapped out of it and apologized and just left him alone. You know, I mean, there's quite a few of these kinds of cases happening when someone carries the aura, carries the awareness that they're not afraid, and that whatever appearance is coming that looks terrifying is just a counterfeit. It's not the reality. And they see right through it. It's like the actor who's doing it helps them snap out of it too. And they say, they mumble something and leave them and walk away. You know, so these things happen. And I think the more that we raise our vibration, the more we get to that level. I think I told that story, but I'll tell it again briefly because there's some new people here. Sons of the samurai warrior. He had this great samurai warrior had these three sons that he and other people were training, and so he wanted to test them. And so the youngest son, he said, so what he did was he had one of the samurai stand behind the door, and then he called the sons into his room. You know, so he and the samurai behind the door. His job, his instructions were to just attack. Attack the son when he came through the door, and as a test to see how good the son's training actually was. So the youngest son, with the least training, came walking through the door, and the samurai attacked him, and the poor kid just got whacked on the head, you know, knocked down, and, you know, that was that. He got really hit hard and was kind of dizzy. And so that kind of shows what happens with the least amount of training, you know. But the middle son came walking through the door, and the same thing happened, and he was attacked. But this, the middle son had done a lot of training, and so he whirled around with lightning speed and blocked the attacker and threw him down. So much less violence. It was just like, you know, like, what's going on, Dad, you know. But then, but the oldest son, as he approached the door, he didn't even come in. He just stopped for a moment and said, you know, I feel something here isn't quite right. What are you doing there, Dad, you know? And so there was literally no violence at all. The father said, well, I was going to do a test, but I guess you could feel it, so you didn't even come in. So but the idea with that story is that it's, you know, what makes us safe or what constitutes security and the capacity to respond to situations is really the depth of our practice, the quality of our practice, and how mature we are in our consciousness. And we can practice. We can develop with time more and more sensitivity and be able to be a force for reducing violence. Because when we haven't practiced much and we're afraid all the time, and we're just going to be receiving violence and causing violence. So that's why veganism is very skillful. Like, we're reducing the violence we're causing, so we're automatically going to have less violence coming toward us. We're going to automatically relax and know that we're safe because we're safe for other people. So I think, you know, this is a great question because it's it touches on a lot of what's happening in the world right now, and the whole narrative about security and safety, which is being weaponized against us to enslave us. So we have to be very savvy about that and know that our safety and our security come from us. So we take responsibility, and we don't need to rely on outside forces, because very often those will take, they'll be much more violent, actually. So it's important for us to try to create community and just learn to raise our vibration and really learn to see the best in others. Be conscious, you know, but also to see beyond the outer form. So those are some thoughts I have about that. And I just want to say, though, every situation is unique. And it's a good idea not to try to spread, you know, to try to always have this blanket formula. Like, this is what I always do. We just got to really be attentive to the uniqueness of every situation. Anything you want to say, or is that good?
Well, there was somebody there, and it was yeah, freshly snowing. So, but yeah, they were walking around my whole house, and I'm in the middle of nowhere. So they made a point of coming here. It's not like somebody randomly was just showing up. They were looking for something. So it's just kind of uneasy. That's all. And it's just, I very much agree with you. I think that, you know, I've always realize that fear isn't going to attract anything but fear. And so I've been very conscious about, if I feel a little bit nervous, of just bringing in the light and feeling my land protected and caring that way.
Good.
I don't know if I can keep everything out in that space, but I'm safe. But it does happen. It's, I don't know. It just kind of has me evaluating things. That's all. And it's just, you know, without letting it take over my life, you know.
Definitely. Right, right. Thank you. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah.
And I think it's a bit of a narrative, for women too, you know, and not the truth whether we want to believe
absolutely
it or not.
No, you're like, right. Absolutely.
The thing that has happened for women, we have been more vulnerable
to
violence ever since I was young. I remember that. I remember some of the fathers in my neighborhood, you know, having free reigns over how they treated their family. There was a lot of abuse going on, and it was usually directed at women from men. And so, you know, there's that certain thing that we have been a little bit vulnerable. And
right,
it's just the truth, really.
Absolutely. No, that's for sure true. Yes. Definitely. Thank you for sharing that. Right. Good. Okay. Let's see. We have some more time. Anyone else have a comment or question about anything new or old or whatever? So I noticed there's some talk about Christspiracy. Actually, there's all kinds of talk about here. Well, anyway, as far as Christspiracy goes, we've showed the current version of it twice, once about a year ago and once about a couple of weeks ago in South Florida. And so I've seen it twice. I'm in it, somewhat. It's not a lot, not a whole lot, but, people ask me if I'm in it. And, but the thing I have to really emphasize is, I think it's a great film, but according to Kip and Cam, who created this film, Christspiracy, and it's kind of in the tradition of Kip's, Cowspiracy, Seaspiracy, What the Health, and now this is the fourth one. What he's been showing everybody for the last year and a half that everybody has seen is not the film it's we're going to see on March 20th. It's not the film. So we have to be aware of that. So I don't know. What he said is the film you're going to see on March 20th when it's released in 650 theaters all over the United States, Canada, I think Australia, and maybe England, the English-speaking world, it's a whole different film. I mean, what he said is that they cut quite a bit out, tightened it up, added some more in, so they changed it a lot. So I don't know if I'm still in it. I really have no idea. I don't know. No one's going to know until March 20th. I mean, I could ask him, but I'm not going to ask him. Whatever. I'll just see. So, because I think, you know, he said they did a fundraiser for, I can't remember how much it was, but it was a lot. I mean, they were trying to get something like 300,000 and they got like 600,000. They got a lot of money. And so they used that money to really make it even, they think, even much better, do a lot of more editing, more enhancement, more this, that, and the other. He said, you'll see, when you see this film on March 20th, it's a whole different thing. No, we're not going to tell you, but it's a whole different thing. So if you've seen it, you haven't seen it. Nobody's seen it. They're not showing it until March 20th. So it's like a big surprise. So we'll have to just see, you know, March 20th to March 24th, that's when it's going to be really showing. And so I do think it's a good idea to get groups together and try to see it, try to sell out the theaters if we can, because I think it has a tremendous potential to help raise awareness about the plight of the animals and how important the spiritual and ethical dimension of this whole thing is. And you all know the story because it was, you know, he came to our training way back when he was just a, you know, I'm like 10 years, probably 12 years ago, I guess it was a long time ago, when we did the World Peace Diet training in Cincinnati. And after the training, he said he wanted to make a film, and it's turned into these four films on the World Peace Diet. So it's really it's that message that he really wanted to get out. And I think he's done a great job. So we'll see how it all goes. But I don't know what the final film is going to be like. We'll have to just see. But it's great. I think it'll be great. It'll at least get the conversation going a lot more about animals and spirituality, because it includes all the religions, especially Christianity, but all of them get addressed, which is great, I think. All right. So anything else anybody has that you'd like to ask or contribute or whatever? I'm happy to respond. Let's see. It looks like we have Elisa back, the great optometrist.
I got a text message from Lisa Wong, and she said, I think you should come and tell everybody and invite everybody to your virtual book launch. I came here to invite everybody to my virtual book launch. It's not a movie. It's not a famous documentary. But Will Tuttle wrote a great endorsement that's the first one. So when you open the first page of the book, here's the book. It just came in.
Yes. Great.
On February 19th, when you open the book to the very first page, the endorsement, that first one is from you, Will.
Oh, wow. All right.
And so March, I'll drop it in this chat. It's March 20th from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern. It's just 1 hour. And if anybody here, like I know, Tammy, you've written some great books. I've never met you, Tammy, but I know of you through Judy Carmen, who's here, I see. And she said, you know Tammy Hay, because I've done work with, I got my master's degree also with Gabriel Cousins, probably one of the last ones who got a master's degree in spiritual nutrition, before he moved, to Israel.
Wow.
So the book is in five parts, and the central part of the book is on nutrition, which is really all about moving into plant-based eating, you know, for yourself, for your health, for the planet, for everything. And then there's other parts that I think many here would be interested in the nature section, which kind of helps people to understand the relationship between what mRNA really is and some studies that are being done right in front of our faces about putting that mRNA vaccine into plants. And I was just reading, I have something in that about in my book, and I was reading it to my husband, and he said, well, Alyssa, that just means that, they're using plants instead of, you know, making this thing in a lab. And I got really upset, and then my husband finally came around and he said, oh, do you think that it could escape and it could be in all of our plants? And so it's made me realize that, there's a lot of explaining and education that needs to be done. And Will, you model that constantly. You're modeling it constantly. And I'm just realizing that I think that that's what I have to be doing too, just educating. So I'll stop here in case anybody has any, unless anybody has any questions. But my book is called Enlivening Consciousness, Deepening Your Journey Through Vision, Movement, Nutrition, Nature, and Spirit. And I think Spirit set up your last talk, Dr. Tuttle, because you didn't know.
Right.
You spent like 45 minutes talking about your incredible vision journey, and I would encourage everybody here, if you haven't already, if you weren't there in person, just go listen to that, because you gave like a course in natural eyesight improvement, maybe without realizing it, and it was succinct, and it was really important. Yeah. I could talk to you about that another time, about just offering that as a course, you know, an hour and a half or a 45 minute just like product, because it was just really important and good. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Alyssa. Yeah, I know it was such a big thing for me to work with my vision all those years, and I didn't know you were someone like you was you have such an amazing background as an optometrist, but also as a spiritual seeker, and bringing those two things together, because vision and, you know, our vision, physical as well as spiritual, overlap, I think, and that was always the big question for me. And but tell us a little bit. I don't know if you mentioned it, but this virtual book launch. Like, did you say when it is and how we join, and what how does it work?
Yeah, so it's on March 20th, which is a Wednesday.
That's the day of the launch of Christspiracy too. It's great. It's all happening on March 20th.
It's like the first day of spring, depending on how you count it.
Right.
And so mine is going to be from 3 to 4 in the afternoon Eastern. So if you're in California, it's noon. You know, if you're in other parts of the world, it's another time frame, but 3 to 4 Eastern. And I'll drop the information in the chat. I just
That'd
have
be
to
good.
It in a minute. But basically what I'm asking people is to get on my And my website is enliveningconsciousness.com. And if you go to the book page, or really almost any page at the bottom, I just ask people to go on to my email from there. And then I'll email the Zoom link, the day of or the day before. And I'm also offering, like, if people want to promote, like Tammy, if you want to promote your books, or Will or Judy or anybody, I'll look around the room and I'll say, oh, you know, Tammy Hay is here, and she's written some incredible books on everything spiritual related to, you know, veganism. And I don't know, I have two of your books, Tammy. I bought them. I haven't read them thoroughly yet, but we have a lot in common. And then I'll say, please drop whatever link you want in the chat so that we're going to do some interaction. I'm also going to do some breakout rooms so that just maybe for 8 minutes of the hour, but so that whoever, whichever random room you're in, you can network and meet other people. They may be like-minded or they may not. Not everybody that reads my book is going to be vegan, but the idea is they can start to understand what the connection is between improving your eyesight, improving your movement patterns, improving your, you know, your connection to nature and spirit, and what that has to do with, you know, eating like you give a damn, you know? I mean, like, you know, I literally, I don't know if this is spiritual, if this is for tonight or not, but I was literally kicked out of a group I co-founded because they accused me, this was 2 weeks ago, they accused me of pushing veganism on everybody. And it's an environmental group. It's all about reimagining our community here in southwestern Pennsylvania. They also accused me of spouting anti-vax rhetoric, which is, I did it. I mean, actually, Lisa Wong is involved in this story because she was the last person I interviewed on our Journey Through Health and Wellness podcast that I had formed with other people. And she's an incredible vegan ear acupuncturist who's like this deeply spiritual person that many of you know. And in the last 5 minutes of our interview, we got into a conversation. This was in 2022. Think back a few years about the vaccination. And they told me I couldn't publish the podcast unless I took out the last 5 minutes. And I said, no, I'm not taking out the last 5 minutes. This is a free country. And ever since then, they've been avoiding me. And they finally wrote me what I call a hate letter, a really rude, obnoxious thing. And so I've transcended it, just like you were talking to Tammy about, like, really energizing, keeping your vibration high. Because as you do that, the world changes around you. You know, it's a little bit nerve-wracking if you live in the middle of the woods and you're a woman and you see footprints. I mean, I personally would, maybe I might put a camera out if it was me. But I'm being threatened in a different way. And I think many of us have been, no matter how high we keep our vibration, I think right now it's time for us to collectively work together, just like you're doing, Dr. Tuttle. You're gathering the troops. You're gathering our forces of positivity and creativity and awareness and high vibration. So I would just like to offer some of this to Tammy right now, because I'm really feeling her concern. And what else can we do as a collective other than offering her our energy? So helping her to raise the vibration around her house, sending love and light to those footprints and the person that belongs to them, and visualizing light and love and gratitude and the essence of perfection of that soul who came around and circled her house to send them everything that they need to understand what it is that they were doing, you know. And that's my offering. But I will drop the link. And Judy Carmen just wrote in the chat, yeah, Vegan Spirituality is interviewing me on March 15th. It was supposed to be in May, but somebody canceled, so I agreed to do that. And I see that she's, thank you, Judy, has dropped the link in the chat. And I don't know who Janine is. Yeah, okay, yeah, okay. So, but my my website is enlivening. I'm just typing it in right now.
We're getting to the point where we're going to have to do our closing prayer. So, okay. Yeah, if you could put the information in the chat, that would be great. And then March 20th is coming right up. It's the day before, I think, our third Thursday event. So this is our last chance. So yeah, go ahead and put that in the chat. And congratulations, and we wish you a great launch, and thank you also for the great idea that we all send our love and understanding of the truth of the divine perfection of being for Tammy and her space there, the space of love where she's living, that nothing can violate that. And that's true for Tammy, true for really for all of us, though, especially for Tammy since she brought that up. So thank you everyone for your beautiful attention and energy. It's amazing how the time goes by here. And I'd like to go ahead then, and since I promised my dear sister, I'm in her husband's bedroom here, so it's 9 o'clock. So I told him we wouldn't go over. So let's just gather our, in fact, actually, the way we normally do this is you unmute your microphones. We all unmute our microphones, so you can all do that if you like. And we say our prayer together, which is the prayer of the Circle of Compassion prayer. Go to www.circleofcompassion.org if you want to see the prayer. And we say it every day at noon. And let's go ahead and say it together. Here we go. Divine love flowing through us blesses and multiplies all that we... Wait a second. I'm not saying that right.
No.
I'm always saying this other prayer at Unity. Okay, let's say it again. Starts with compassion and circles the earth. Sorry everybody. Getting my prayers confused. Starts with compassion. It's compassion and circles the earth for all beings everywhere. That's what it is. Okay, let's say that together. Here we go. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. Again, compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. Fantastic. One more time with feeling. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. Oh, beautiful. Very well. Much love. Thank you, everyone.
Go big and for the animals.
And right. We'll look forward to seeing you next time. All right. Much love. Thank you. Force to multiply. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.